could be filled from full to overflowing. That would be God's heart. He doesn't like to just do things halfways. He likes to do it for real. That people stand back and know that there's a God. That's the way he likes to do things. He's just looking for open, willing vessels. So may he find us that way this morning. That's my prayer, and I'm sure yours as well. And I'd like to welcome each one here. It's good to be here and spend some time together. Why don't we have a word of prayer yet, and then we'll begin. Lord, we come this morning just broken vessels. Maybe some of us are feeling empty vessels. Maybe there's some that are feeling overflowing. Lord, we find ourselves all at different places in life, day to day. And Lord, we gather together, and the temperature that is amongst us has an effect on one another. And we come this morning, Lord, just desiring to be relit, renewed, and reinvigorated, and lifted up from where we are to where you'd have us to be. We come and just ask you to draw us to yourself this morning. I pray that you could speak to us through your word. Pray you'd give me words and inspirations to bring out. Pray you bless our time together here. Thank you for each one. Pray for those that are not feeling well, that couldn't make it this morning. Pray you strengthen them and lift them up as well. So Lord, we thank you for this time. Pray for your blessing on it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I was over the years, sometimes there's something burning on your heart to speak about, and sometimes you go a little ways and then your thoughts change and something else comes out. And I want you to know this one came this morning. The inspiration for this message, the desire that I feel God wanted me to share, came this morning, and the notes just flowed, and that's where we're at this morning. So God has, he's a wonderful God. As I was sharing with my wife, I feel like some of these thoughts come from things we talked about, and I thank God for my wife. And so as we are, this coming March will be 25 years for us as a couple. We keep talking about that and pondering on it. And so my mind was on that this morning in Psalms 127. If you want to turn there with me to Psalms 127, that was the theme of our wedding. Was Psalms 127, verse 1. We have a wall hanging at our house that speaks about this, Psalms 127, verse 1. But the whole chapter is the theme that's on my heart this morning. And that's where we're going to spend our time together, in Psalms 127 and a few other places as well. It says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. My wife and I began our journey together with this on our hearts, and it's been something I look back at once in a while, and I ponder on, and realize that that's just how it works. This chapter is very true. And this morning I was thinking about choices that we make and how that this affects our lives. I want to draw a very basic house here this morning on the board. And as you think about a house, we realize that that's not the home, but we all, it's a fact, we all desire a place to go home to. When we, us as men, we face the cares of the day, there's something about it when you go home and you know your wife is behind you, and you know she's praying for you, that does something that takes you through a lot. Life is not easy sometimes. Life has its challenges. Life has many things for us that we have to walk through that are not pleasant at times. Life is not always easy. There's times it's wonderful. If you're here this morning and you're having a cloud nine experience, God bless you. Let it run over to everybody else because that's a great place to be. That is very enjoyable. There's an elevation that's higher than that that we look forward to one day, but we're not there yet, but we're going there. We're pressing on. Cloud nine, they say, is maybe about as good as it gets here. I don't know. If you're there, praise God. But sometimes it's not always that way. There's also the valley. Then there's the river levels that go below level, and they get down in the negatives. And there's negative. David, do you know what I mean this morning? The water levels, how that works. Then there's waterfalls. I don't know how deep that goes sometimes, but life is not always a mountaintop experience. And we, as we walk together, it's very interesting how that couples make choices. And I'm not going to be a tremendous artist this morning, but what I'm trying to bring out here is that this house has studs, okay? With a house, you need structure. And you need a good foundation and, you know, on the Word of God and in Christ, the foundation is solid and sure. And it's such a blessing when we can start out our marriages on a good foundation. That's wonderful. I know I had that opportunity to do that. Maybe some here didn't this morning, but they're getting there or they're making the foundation sure. Sometimes there's breaches and damages come into the foundation that need to get repaired. Brother Arlen got radical, I guess, and jacked up his house and put a new foundation under there. You know, sometimes that has to happen. We did that to our church house. We had a church house with no foundation for a period of time, at the building anyway. But we replaced that, now we do. And it's been a lot warmer ever since we did that, now that we have a good foundation in here. But I've watched just recently as a family, we've been through some different things, been to a few family get-togethers. A few different things have been taking place over the years. And as I get older, you know, I started out as a newlywed, and now I'm 25 years. Maybe that's halfway. I don't know. But I've been married longer than I was single. That I know. And that has affected my wisdom and my insight on life. And would to God that keeps growing. We don't want to ever stop and think we've arrived. But in the course of life, I have seen different times some people make choices. Proverbs chapter 14. Why don't we turn there together? That one, and looking at that, my thoughts go there for just a little bit this morning. Proverbs 14, verse 1. And I'm not just going to pick on the women this morning. I want you to understand that because the men bear a lot of responsibility here. But Proverbs 14, verse 1 is very true. And it says, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. And I'd like to spend a little time thinking about this morning. We're going to turn to Ephesians 5. Now we're going to spend a little time in Ephesians, Ephesians 5 and verse 21. We're going to read there. But there's something that's extremely important about these studs and the nails. If you've ever seen shingle roofing where the nails on the plywood miss the rafters, giving it a little bit of time, the roof does one of these numbers, and there's a bulge in there, and the plywood swells because there's no fasteners. I used to be a contractor, and it's very embarrassing to say, but in one project I ran into, and as I got around over the years, I found out every contractor had at least one of these, so that helped me not to feel quite so bad, but this was a classic example of a mistake I made in my contracting days. We were building a store for a brother in the church, and the project was about 60 by 100 with 10-foot ceilings, and it was a slab with studs, and we were done framing most of the way, and the time to put the roof on had come, and so we were putting the roof on that morning, and there was a big old traffic jam in town, so the traffic was about 2 miles long going past the project, and people got to observe what we're doing there. And we were putting this roof on, and when you have a structure that's on top of a slab, your jacks going down to the banks are very important in maintaining this thing's position. And I had one of those days where my mind was on the roof and not on the project, and the fellows were taking some of these braces off because it made it a lot easier to walk alongside and put this fill to put the roofing up. We had pushed the topsoil back, and these braces were the clear area to walk on, and this topsoil mountain, 6 and 10 foot high, was difficult hauling the roofing in to get it up. So it made it real easy taking the braces off to put the roofing up. Well, that worked okay on the first side, and we started on the second side, and they did it again. So both long sides of the building had no braces to the bank. I don't know if I need to explain to you the precarious situation that gets you in, but it wasn't good. And so God gave us grace in that situation, but around lunchtime, the guys came down from the roof, and we had our next customer there for our next house that we were going to build. I went into a meeting with that customer, and as we were meeting, there was this terrific groan, and then boom. I can hear it to this day. You know how nails sound as they're being ripped? They just... That's a poor example, but I think you know what I mean. And the roof came down flat, you know. We did an extremely good job bracing the trusses, so there was a house with no walls, okay? There lay the roof, fully intact, but there were no studs. And we had people coming, and the customer, let's just finish that part of the story first. So the customer we were visiting with for the next project realized something happened, and he looked out the window, and it wasn't good. And he said, hey, why don't we just have a meeting next week? And we said, that would be a great idea, so and so and so, and he left. And that was okay. But we had a situation on our hands. Thank the Lord, nobody was under the roof. But they had been all just off the roof to eat lunch. And in the process, I think we had about 7 trusses needed replaced. Everybody came out of the woodwork. We tore this thing apart. That day, we had it all in a pile again, and it was 5 days later, the thing was back to where it was a week ago with a roof on and lots of bracing. And ever after that, I never forgot the value of bracing. Okay, no one has to tell me again that you use bracing. And if the wall's 10 feet long, it's long enough for a brace. put one on while you're at it, okay? And I never once had a situation arise again. But that was very humiliating. And people came and they said, where's the store? You know, it was up this morning and it was gone by 10 o'clock. Fascinating, you know, it was captivating actually, but we got this thing taken care of. And I began to realize in the process of life that every wise man and woman doesn't pluck her house down, she builds. And it comes by one piece at a time. We probably could have done all right with one brace or two braces removed. But if you just keep taking the braces off, you're going to have a problem. And it was not productive. It took lots of help. It took the whole church and their cousins to come to restore what was plucked down. And it's very important. And we're going to read in Ephesians 5, but I just want to spend some time on this and elaborate on it a little bit to help you sisters to understand the value of these verses here. There's something about it when a husband and wife love each other, and that's solid and real, that it takes the test of the wind and the storms, and the home, like I say, the home within the house, the home can't be shaken when there's love there and there's unity there. There's something about that that can't be shaken. And we want to look at that this morning. That's like the foundational strength and integrity of the home. I want to spend a little time in Ephesians 5. And this is also where our wedding message was preached out of, in Ephesians 5. And I still long to learn the value of these verses in a deeper way. But after 25 years, I've learned a few things. And I want to share some of that this morning. And may God help us. We're on a journey. Ephesians 5, verse 21 is where I want to start. It says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. His first verse here, verse 21, it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. There is something that's so beautiful about a relationship where the husband is submitting his viewpoints and his perspective to the wife and how she feels, and the wife doing that with him. There's something that's very beautiful about seeing relationships with humility and respect in the proper balance. It's wonderful to work with people like that. It really is. When there's not one that's high-minded and one that has to listen, but where people can share a fellowship together and there's communion together and a fellowship that people's hearts are open and relationships are clear and you can work together. That's beautiful. And in this verse 21, when you do that together in the fear of God, it's powerful. But in all that, you have a foundation and a house and a roof. Anything that we do in life has to have structure to it. And God designed it in such a way that it's very important in that, that there is this connection together, but that the wives submit themselves to their husbands then, and allow the husband to lead out then, and make a decision after this fellowship has been communicated, so that a decision in some direction can be made, and things can move forward. It's been that way since Genesis chapter 3 that the woman was put in subjection to the man, and it hasn't changed. And in the fiber of our society, it works the best that way. We need to have fellowship and communication together, but in the end, when the wife comes in subjection and trusts her husband and gives him that place of decision and supports him, then the husband taking that responsibility and walking in the fear of God, making wise decisions and choices, it brings powerful, good results every time. And we also know there's a verse in the Bible that says that God takes all things work together for the good of them that love him. There's also the grace of God to help us as men when there's mistakes made and restoration or change needs to be made. There's a way through that one too. But if the submission and respect and fellowship is good and for God and for each other is good, most of the time those decisions are made with no regrets. Anybody can resonate with that this morning? Raise your hands. There's only about 5 people. Is there more of you that I don't see? Raise your hands if you find it to be this way. High enough so we can see. There's a few more. I'm just here to say there's been times that I've made decisions where it wasn't that way and it didn't work so well. And I want to lift this up this morning. Brothers and sisters, be in submission one to another to the place where fellowship is good and strong. Do that. Have that humility together. But then, wife, come to a place where you just lay it down and support your husband and be there for him and let him go and trust him to God and believe in your God to such a place that you give it to him and to God, and you say, I'm here, go for it, honey. I appreciate your consideration. I'm here behind you. Let's do this together. There is something about that that God honors, and his mercy is there in a gracious way to help when there are mistakes made. But most of the time when you make decisions that way, God's blessing is on it, and it works very well, and it's productive. It usually works out very well. We do have the brotherhood, and that adds an extra strength and support to those things. Over top of that, that also is a privilege that this world doesn't know about, that we do have, where we can be there loving and helping each other. But that thing is beautiful when it's worked out in its rightful place. And what's brought this to mind as I'm watching family, as I'm watching people around me, I see women that don't do that, and they always have a different way. They always have a suggestion that's a little better. Or they always have a thought that is a little bit more the way things should go. I've seen women do that, and there are some women that even have the habit of it to such a level that they have a better way than the ministry has. The ministry doesn't understand this the right way. And I've seen men go home from brothers' meeting within 2 days have a different, opposite viewpoint because they spent so much time fellowshipping with their wife, and they did a 180, and they're heading a different way than they were when they were at the brothers' meeting. I've seen women do that. And I'm here to testify it doesn't work. And you will face consequences if that's your testimony, how you operate in your home. It doesn't work. I could share with you some personal stories of the devastation that's very evident in places we relate with when a woman takes day to day at the dinner table and starts pulling out studs. Opportunities for submission to build and support and strengthen, or taking the nails out and the studs out one at a time by her attitude, her way of life, the decisions she makes, and before you know it, give this project right here about 20 years of stud removal. You tell me what's going to be left of this thing. How many of you think that this house could stand the test of wind? Raise your hands. Ain't nobody putting their hands up for anybody listening to the tape this morning. It doesn't work. I've been married 25 years now, and my wife has been putting nails in with me, and I thank God for that. We've made some mistakes, and God has helped us through some of those, and I'm sure there's a few we haven't crossed the bridge on yet. I was very, very much, I believe that's true too. But if you take a situation, women, and you give this project 20 years, 25 years, I'm here to tell you, if your day-to-day experience is stud removal and pulling nails, you will have consequences one day that when you, if the Lord gives you opportunity to get 60, you'll be sitting on your easy chair crying with sleepless nights. I've seen it too many times. It does not work. And my wife and I, as we get older, I work hard different times, I really do. But I go to bed and there's some nights that I don't sleep so well sometimes because my mind is full. For some of the people I relate with, the situations I face that I'm praying about, people in responsibility know what that's like to have nights where they don't sleep so well with people they're responsible for and working with. It's part of life. There's cares. We bring them to the foot of the cross. There's needs sometimes in the home that we're praying about and sorting through. There's people we're relating with that are coming to us and talking that need help. There's people that we're responsible for, and they're wanting direction, and they need help. Sometimes we don't have all the answers for these things, and they don't change just like that. It takes time. And again, we bring it to God. And there is a sweet rest, but I'm here to encourage the sisters this morning. Come behind your husband. Put nails in and studs in and just be there to support and build. Be a wise woman. Do not be a foolish woman plucking your house down. It doesn't work, okay? That's point number one this morning in the message. As I look at this, Psalms 127, there's a beautiful thing about doing this God's way. And 25 years from now, you'll see good results. Get up towards 30 or 40, and there's more to be had. But there's consequences. If around the dinner table or around the schools, some of us homeschool, or around the walks that you have with your children, if you're going around sowing seeds of disrespect, sowing seeds of undermining, unsubmissive thoughts, I'm here to tell you it won't work. God's word is true, and it has not changed. So let's take the more profitable route and be a framer and a stud builder for Jesus, by making choices one at a time to come along behind and support the foreman or your husband and pray for where there's needs. Let's just do that. It works better. God knows how big the project can go when we're there building together. It's beautiful to see. So husbands, let's love our wives real good. Let's pray. Let's have God's direction. Let's ask Him for the wisdom that we need. Let's lead out in the right way. When we make mistakes, humble our hearts and repent for it and rise up again and go on, because there is a cause. Is there not? And there's a destination. And we're going to get to the destination one way or the other. It's coming. I was at a viewing this week. A friend of mine, Trail Plumbing, John, he's 68 years old or so. I knew him fairly well, did a lot of business with him. He was doing firewood that evening with his children, and he wasn't feeling so well, so he came in the house, and his countenance started changing, turning gray, and they called the ambulance. And he sat down, and he asked the children, you know, is the ambulance here yet? And he recognized his wife one more time. And just like that, it was the end. His last breath, died of a heart attack. He had gotten an MRI that morning in Millersburg, didn't have the results yet, but the MRI didn't matter anymore. It was a total shock, total surprise. But brothers and sisters, it's reality. It's coming for each one of us. And I would like to know where you find yourself at. Is your building standing the test of time? Is it ready for that? Or is it in a very precarious position where that it could be improved upon? And you're still here walking the face of this earth with the opportunity to make a difference. And my prayer, my burden is this morning, go to the lumber yard of Jesus Christ, get the materials, and let's start the project. God's way. It works. And there's lots of ways to go about putting in hurricane fasteners and so forth, that when the wind picks up, that roof will stay put. It's just the way that it works when we do things God's way. And selfishness and these other things that can come in and tear down. It says here in verse 27 of Ephesians 5 that we might present not only to ourselves but to God a spotless home, wife, family with no wrinkles and without blemish, because as we live our lives and we bring the presence of God and grace into our daily situations, it washes those things away and brings healing. It brings joy, brings refreshment, and the things that were hurt can be made whole. Breaches, holes, damage can be fixed, because there's a goal and God's grace is there to help us. So that's part one of the message. And part two is on, I want to turn to Deuteronomy 6. I'd like to spend a little time there. Psalms 1 and 27 speaks about our home and our children and the blessing that they are. Deuteronomy 6, I'd like to just spend a little time on Deuteronomy 6. I had in mind to read the whole chapter, but there's a lot of encouragement here from our God for us as men to take these choices in the course of life seriously, to let's just read verse 6, 1 and 2 of chapter 6 of Deuteronomy. It says, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. So this is God's heart. He's like, here's my word, here's my plan, here's my heart for you, my people, that I might bless you, and it might go long, and that your days might be long, and it might be prosperous on your journey. This is my heart for you. It's like God coming down, speaking to his children, and just giving them his blessing and assurance that I'll be there with you. I'm just asking you one thing. And then he goes on in the rest of the chapter to define what he means and some things that we as men can do to help that process. And I'd like to read that a little bit here. And it says in verse 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. That's like the key one right there. It's teaching our children how to do that perfectly and to help them etch that thought into their heart, into their fiber, in such a way that it never leaves. You know, as men, maybe we have that for ourselves. But do we love our wives, do we love our children enough that we're helping them to get it too? And that we're here for others in this way to make that love real to those around us so it can become reality for the people we deal with day to day. First of all, our families, and then those that we work with, those that we rub shoulders with day to day. First thing, brothers, love the Lord our God with all our heart and let nothing between. I don't know how to explain that better. That's a very good explanation that God gives, how to do that. So with all your might, with all your soul, with all of you, nothing hindering, nothing holding back. That's the first thing that he says. And then we go on in verse 6, and he says, And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou observest, when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. You know, I think it's very healthy for us to decorate our houses that way. It's wonderful to know when you walk in that a person who knows God lives here. And there's something about it when that atmosphere is such that you know that it's not just on the walls, it's in the heart when you walk in that house, that those people love God in such a way that what you see on the walls is in their heart. And you watch the man and woman's relationship and you know they have it between them. And then you watch as they relate with their children, and you know they have it with their children. It's powerful. Why would we live with anything less? Amen? May God help us to do that. There's something about it, brothers and sisters. When we love our wives, and there's a closeness there that's real, it changes the effects of people as they come in our homes when they see that. It's powerful. And sisters, you have a lot to do with that. And brothers, you do too. Sisters, brothers, you do too. Do you follow? It's just, let's go for it. Let's don't settle partway. Is there love between you and your wife? Does your wife feel it? Does she taste of it and know it? Does she? And then, children, do you know that with your parents? Fathers, do you know that with your children? I don't know where that finds you at. That finds me humbled in my heart with the needs that I have. But I have a goal, and I'm going there, and I'm willing to do what it takes to get there by the grace of God, because there's no other way for God's blessing to come down and help us along life's journey, but that's our heart. We must have that heart. And brothers, if it's not that way between us and our wives, we must do what it takes to get there, because there's no other better way, there's no better recipe than to have a house that's in order like this to accomplish God's work. A greenhouse without the sun needs a lot of furnaces. Any greenhouse person probably knows that sun works better. Is that right, Jason? It's a lot easier that way. We all need that in our homes and our lives. Life is busy. It has a lot of cares. And there's nothing like it when the wife is there supporting her husband. Why don't we all stand a minute? There's some here that are tired this morning that need a little bit of encouragement. Maybe we can stretch a little bit, turn around and shake our neighbor's hands, and then we'll keep going a little bit here. Why don't we turn around and shake our neighbor's hand and bless each other just a second here? Okay, you can sit down again. We'll continue. I just really enjoy preaching to people that are there rooting for the message. Brothers and sisters, let's just realize that it starts right here. Okay? And when we as men take our responsibilities and we take it for real, and you sisters are doing the same thing, you will get somewhere doing it when there's a submitted, open heart to the grace of God. You will get somewhere, because God's blessing will work on that. But as we do that, here's the heart for our children. And it talks about it here in the next verses. It talks about teaching them diligently as we talk with them. Wives, maybe daddy doesn't say something quite perfectly that morning, or the child didn't understand what he meant. There is nothing more helpful than having a wife that loves her husband and maybe didn't quite get the point across to that child perfectly that they understood it. When you come in there and you support your husband and help them understand what your heart was and help them get the thought across to get that so they know what daddy meant. There's something that's so supporting about that. There's something when we make decisions together and we come together on something and it's a hard decision, but the family knows that the wife is behind daddy and she's with him 100%. There's something that comes in the children's hearts that it doesn't get between them. They realize they got to get on board, or they're outboard or offshore with no boat, okay? If you get in the boat and you come together, there's something that you get somewhere, and it's a more secure feeling. There's a lot of children that don't know who to go to because they're at two different places. How that you talk about this when you walk by the way, when you go shopping, supporting the vision of the home as you shop, as you make decisions and you know the husband's heart and you support it in the things that you buy, the things that you talk about, the places you go, your attitude. It makes a difference because the children know that you're one. And it takes division out of the home. That spirit doesn't gain traction anywhere because it doesn't work and it's not going to go that way at our house. Amen? I think there's some people that believe that this morning here. I'd like to hear it a little louder, though. Amen? Yeah, that's better. It works. But if they go to mommy and they know she's at one place and he's at another, and they can get what they want this time and maybe next time if they manipulate it right, I'm telling you, that is no peace in that situation. And sisters, that doesn't work. And I think there's sisters this morning in places that I relate with that could use some encouragement in this. And it might be here, but I know it's in people I know outside of these four walls. And I'm here to just encourage us along this morning. This is a better way than the other way. It works. So let's love each other and let's teach our children as we're walking by the way to do likewise. And if, you know, if God lays it on your heart, my heart is just encourage us along this morning. Needs are everywhere. There's needs in my house. We are not perfect people. But brothers and sisters, we've got to make choices and decisions to get somewhere that God's goals can get accomplished. We just need to. We've got nothing to lose when we go God's way. And then it goes on here, and it talks about in verse 10 and 11, the houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, wells digged that thou diggest not, vineyards of trees that you didn't plant. It's God's heart to give his children of the kingdom. When we go God's way, there's more to be had than we realized there was going to be had. It's wonderfully good. And it pours out. Houses full of good things. And it says, beware, lest thou forget the Lord in verse 12, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name. And it talks about, in verse 16, don't tempt the Lord thy God as the people of Israel did in Massah. When we don't live that way, it brings God's concern down upon our home rather than his blessing. We don't want that. That's a good place to turn around and make changes right away. We've got the time. We're still walking on the face of this earth. God has given us opportunity. Let's go the other way. Let's repent. Let's confess it. In verse 17, it says, ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and statutes. Thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. This chapter, this is something years ago when I came out from the church I came out from, my mom and dad as a family, we sat down, Deuteronomy 6 and Deuteronomy 11 are both same. And God's heart comes out in those verses, and that's been my goal since that day, to go this way. There's a lot of hindrances in the way that we're going. It's like one brother said, I heard one day, he said, if you know where you're going, every road will get you there. And what he meant by that is if you take your GPS and you put in your destination and there's road construction, what happens? Susie takes you a different way and Susie brings you back on track again and Susie gets you there. Amen? Does that work? Because Susie has a goal in mind as she talks. As you drive your wheels, okay, Susie, and you keep going. Whatever you call yours, maybe yours is Fred. Okay, I don't know. The point of it is that your compass, that your GPS is set, and there's a voice, and you're following it, and you're going that direction, and every road will get you there when you have a goal in mind. When there's no goal, you won't get there. That was the point of that message that he spoke, was if you know where you're going, every road can get you there. There's no turn that's too long, because you've got to go there, and that's where you're going, and that's what it takes. That's what we'll do. It's constructive advice. And that GPS, the voice that it speaks of, is helpful, and you make the move. And what my heart is this morning is, I don't know where you find yourself. I know where I'm finding myself, and according to the Word of God, I want to do what it takes to get me there. And I'm trusting that that's your heart too. And if it's going to take some changes, let's just be busy about that opportunity that we have and take it from the hand of God and go that way. The grace of God is there to take us that direction. He's faithful, and it's very productive that way. God's grace comes to those that make choices like that. So like I said, this chapter, Deuteronomy 11, Joshua, there's some chapters too. He says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That was Joshua's testimony, and there's other ones as well. But we do well. I guess there's more I could share. But the inspiration on my heart this morning is that we would take these things while today, the Bible says, while ye hear God's voice, harden not your hearts, as the Israelites did in the provocation, and they suffered for it. How will you find yourself 20 years down the road in your home? Is it going to be precariously standing for maybe a couple more years yet? Or are you going to find that thing in such a place that there's people coming there and goodness is flowing out of it? And when they come in there, more people want to get in there, and there's not enough room around the table, and the joy is there, and the fellowship is there, and life is coming from there. Brothers and sisters, that can be a reality for each one of us in our homes. It's God's will that we have the light of God shining in such a way like that. Let's don't settle for a precarious situation. Amen? We have an opportunity. And maybe what I said is hard or hurtful. I don't know where you find yourself this morning. I don't. But God does. And if you find yourself in such a place that it's a precarious situation, let's just do something about it together. Let's open up. Because brothers and sisters, if we're not close with our wives and there's not a oneness there between us and the Father and together, first of all, it's going to be very difficult to accomplish more in our homes. And if we have that in our homes, God can do powerful things. And he wants to do powerful things. And so my encouragement is to just, let's go that way, brothers and sisters. Let's don't settle for less. Let's open ourselves, humble ourselves, whatever it takes, that God could bring us forward in a better way and that he could do his work in this world that we're living in. May God bless you. Like I say, I find myself on that journey. It's not an easy road, but thank God there's a direction and there's a compass that we can follow to help us to get there. Thank the Lord for that.